Well, welcome to The Harvest again. It's so glad to have you join with us as we are continuing to find out what God is doing all across the world. God is still on the move, and the harvest is still being reaped in places that you would think that are even the most hostile to the gospel, that there wouldn't be much fruit there, but there is. And we get to talk today with a gentleman that we're concealing his identity, and we're also giving him a different name today, just to make absolutely sure that there was no way that he or his wife would be identified by the folks that are in the nation and in the area that he's ministering in a what we would call an extremely hostile area as far as the environment to the gospel. But God is still on the move there. And we want to welcome today to our broadcast someone that I'm going to call Sam. So Sam, welcome to The Harvest.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that I don't slip up and call you by your real name. So I've got your name right here in front of me that we're going to call you, Sam. But I know that we can tell the folks that are viewing here today that you are ministering in Central Eurasia, and you're ministering to the Iranians in that region that you are, you and your wife, where the Lord has planted you. So for folks that don't know anything about you, maybe kind of give us a real quick snapshot as to why you're even doing what you're doing, and why in the world are you in a place that is so dangerous and so hostile to the gospel. Go ahead and take it from here. Let's find out a little bit more about what God's placed in your heart and why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, of course, it's to bring glory to God. You know, I think God desires for people to worship him all over the world and to bring his name glory. I think that God is whenever we honor his name and following the call to make disciples and to live according to his will, that it brings his name honor. And he, I just feel like God really desires his name to be honored all over the world. And so we just feel like in this small little part of the world where we're at, that's our job, is to bring glory to God by faithfully following the call, no matter where he leads. You know, I remember a long time ago as a, back in Bible college, you know, I wrote on a piece of paper, a theology paper, that I would be willing to give my life to for Jesus, you know. And as a young person, I remember saying that, and like the professor wrote back, and I remember him saying something along the lines of, "You're crazy." He was just kind of being funny about that, but you know, that's kind of the heart, I think. Like, not that people are actually going to give their life, like their literal physical life. That doesn't really happen very often. But are we willing to give of our lives no matter what God asks? Mm. Are you willing to say yes? And so me and my family, we said yes, you know, and we really have a heart for Iranians. And we're not like super people. We're just normal human beings, you know, that just want to follow the call and make our daddy happy, you know. And we believe in his protection. We know that God is watching over us and is caring for us, and he's leading us here on purpose. And so we trust in him. So I do have a family. I've got a wife and four kids that I brought with me. And so we're all in ministry together. Surprisingly, my wife, I was a pastor for 4 years before coming onto the field here. And when we made the decision to come here, the Lord was heavily talking to my wife as well. And since we've been here, she has made so many connections with ladies. I'm just astonished by the need. Ladies are really reaching out to God. Iranian ladies are really reaching out to God. And my wife is overworked. she's got a lot on her plate. So my family is called to the ministry as well, you know, and my kids, they're kids. They love to play. They love to have fun. We go to the park, and we meet people at the park. Often we meet kids at the park. And so my kids are meeting other kids at the park, other Iranian kids, and they make friendships. And so we end up making, you know, these family friendships together. That's a very positive way to start building relationships with them.
Yeah.
Learning their culture and sharing the love of Jesus.
Wow. So why would you choose a place so hostile to the gospel?
It's really it's the government that's hostile to the gospel. The people of Iran are actually very warm to the gospel, very warm. The Iran is a theocracy of sorts, but the mosques within Iran are like empty. The people are only following Islam. Many of the people are following Islam because they're forced to, not because they desire to. The people of Iran are, many of them are going through an identity crisis right now, where they want to kind of throw off the shackles of Islam because the leadership of their country is causing so much harm to the people. While at the same time, they're kind of looking back to their roots, like Cyrus, King Cyrus in the Bible, and Darius.
Right.
And these people were, thinking of this other religion. My mind spaced it for a second. They're Zoroastrian. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Zoroastrian. So, Zoroastrian, the religion of Zoroastrian is, you know, you have good thoughts, good deeds. Your heart is good, and you try to do that all the time as well as you can. And so it produces a people who are always trying to be good, but they're still missing the cross. They're missing Jesus Christ, and they don't have to perform their good works to get to heaven because Jesus Christ has done that for us.
Wow. We have that sort of, there's a lot of that approach here in the United States. People try to do good, and there's a lot of good people, but devoid of Christ, all those good works are not going to get anybody into heaven. There's actually that scripture, that story in the Bible where there's a guy, you know, said, "Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I did all these sort of things for you. You know, I was a good person," in other words. And Jesus said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And there's this relationship aspect that is required of humanity individually towards God through Jesus Christ. What is the culture like? You mentioned about the culture in your area that you're serving.
Yeah.
How is the government, the juxtaposition of what the government is doing and the culture of where you live, how is that, what's happening with that? I think you had mentioned something about that earlier about the struggles, because the people there are very relational, and yet, and here in America, we're very individualistic. But how has that become a challenge to you, and how have you been able to overcome it there?
Yeah, see, one of the things that we love to do is, as we're planting churches, when we make disciples, we meet people, we share the gospel with them, and we disciple them. So many people, we disciple to Jesus, so they agree to meet with us And we continued the discipleship process with them. And it may be months before they actually declare Jesus as their Lord and Savior and commit their life to him. You know, so we, in a lot of ways, we're discipling people to Jesus. Not all the time. Sometimes sure. people are, they come much quicker. But the thing, one of the things is, you know, as a church, we need to meet together as a body, you know, have church together. So a huge struggle that we run into is grouping Iranians together. So say I'm meeting with one Iranian and I'm sharing the gospel with him and having discipleship meetings with him, and then meeting with another Iranian, and they're kind of at a point where I'm like, well, I would like to bring them together, so that we can have church together. That's always a really sticky situation because, the culture in Iran is they just don't trust each other. Which is a shame because they're very friendly people. They're extremely hospitable people. Mm. I mean, extremely hospitable. But they don't, it's very shallow. It's very thin. And they just don't trust each other. They trust their families. So their families are very, they're tightly knit family structures. But outside of that, it's kind of everyone saves face, you know, wants to look good, wants to, they can't let their guard down.
Wow.
You know,
is it because the government has created this sort of paranoia because of the way that they are so strong in their, almost dictatorship,
absolutely.
Right?
So the Iranian culture is a collectivist culture. They're an honor shame based culture. Whereas in the East, or in the West, excuse me, it's an individualist culture where innocence, guilt, you know, we do things because we want to be free of guilt often. That's usually, you know, you do right and wrong because you were taught right from wrong. And if you do the wrong thing, well, then you're guilty of doing the wrong thing. Hmm. That's how we raise our children up. And where in the Iranian culture is more of a collectivist culture. It's shame, honor. So what you decide as being good, as good behavior is what brings honor, to the family. Mm. So if you can do to keep the family or the group that you belong to having a good face, to having honor in the culture. So that's the type of culture it is. So it's supposed to be a group type culture, but the government has caused so much distrust within the fabric of Iran that it's people don't trust each other. They, you know, one person can see that this other lady over here is not wearing her hijab just perfectly, or she's not wearing it all, and so one person's calling so that they can get some money to turn the other person in because they're not wearing their hijab, you know, or something of that type of thing, you know. So the government will pay people to turn in their neighbor, you know, for breaking the Islamic law that they have.
Well, so in that kind of hostile, not really hostile, but in that sort of culture that you just described, the gospel is still going forward. The harvest is still taking place, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some stories that you can share with us of maybe what God's, you know, done through you and your obedience there in your community?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll just share one story. This is a very fresh story. About a few months ago, a friend of ours who is he's an Iranian who's been Christian for maybe a couple of years, but he's got this apostolic ministry. You know, he's reaching his brothers and you know, sisters, mainly brothers, but he's reaching his brothers and he's planting new churches. You know, so he told me about this guy he didn't have enough time to spend time with, so I started meeting with him, and we built a relationship. Well, now he went back into Iran, and that's the goal, right? So, like, where we're at, we're reaching people, but we want to reach people who go also back into Iran. Okay. And as when they go back into Iran, then they can take the DNA of what we've been discipling them with, and we continue to follow up on that. And they can then start churches within Iran as well. So this fellow that I'm meeting with, we actually just had a church via the internet 2 days ago for our first time that he went into Iran, which is huge, because when we first met him, he had a really big guard up, and he wasn't ready to receive the gospel. But after some meetings, 3 or 4 meetings, he really came around, and he's got a nice business inside of Iran. And when I talked to him, he just gave complete praise to Jesus for what he considers a miracle of how he was able to get his business reestablished and the place where he was able to get it. And he just gave all glory to God for it. Mm. And my friend now is getting him a Bible inside of Iran, which is a tough deal, but he's getting it to him. And this guy is really of a Paul character. I mean, he's got a really strong personality. And so we're really super excited for what God's doing in this man's life, because we're expecting it to just have a nice ripple effect within Iran. And that's what we're training to do, is for people we disciple them. It's a simple model. We disciple people with a simple model of doing church, so that when they go into Iran, they can take that model with them and continue doing it.
Yeah. So just very quickly, what does that model look like? You're talking about simple church. I would love to know what you're talking to these people about as far as, okay, here's the model. Now, perfect it, take it. What does that model look like?
Yeah. So one of the things in Iran is that they, it used to be, and it still is really, for the people who use old models, that when the government caught on to a member of a church, they would seek to find the leader, and then they would cut off the leader, right? And once they cut off the leader, then the church would die. Mm. So what we do now is we disciple people to become leaders. Everyone can take the model that we do and go inside of Iran and reproduce the same model. And it's a DMM type model, disciple making movement model. We do house church. We have a time of Thanksgiving at the beginning where everyone shares and gives worship and glory to God together. We meet each other's, we ask about people's needs, you know, and we pray for people's needs. And then when we go into Bible study, it's just the Bible study format is very basic. It's, you know, just what does this scripture talk about with God? What does it say about God? What does it say about man and man's relationship with God? And how can we, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through this shared wisdom experience of the Holy Spirit working in our lives as we're sharing together, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to us while we're going through this passage? And so we all talk about that. Like, what is the Spirit saying that we should, how should we apply this to our lives? How should we obey what God has just told us in this? And so that when we come back next time, we check in on each other. Did you obey? Did you do what God asked you to do, and hold each other accountable to that?
So Sam, I think that's really cool that you're explaining this, because as I'm listening to you with this model, mm-hmm. I'm actually thinking there's a lot of folks that are watching this broadcast that right now are probably saying, well, maybe they're not saying it, but I'm going to say it for you guys that are watching.
Sure.
What Sam just described is something that all of us can do. Think about it. You just described a cell group, a small group, a life together group, whatever you want to call it. That model that we have here in the States, where disciples are raising up disciples, and if you there's no cutting off the head. There is really no head. It's because if all of us are sharing this ministry together, Here's what I'm trying to say is that if you feel like that maybe the Lord has put in your heart that you want to really speak into people's lives and disciple them and all, you don't have to be called to be a pastor or a head of a church. You can actually lead a small group. Maybe at your church right now. I know at Faith Assembly we have small groups, but maybe wherever it is that you're viewing this, and maybe you don't have small groups, or maybe you do, but you didn't realize that that's what that was all about. And actually, as you're listening to Sam talk about this model that he has in the central Eurasian area that they're ministering, that in your community, in your church, you could do the same thing. And all it takes is just to make yourself available, to say, okay, I'll make my home available. I will be willing to facilitate conversation. It'll be a simple Bible study. I don't have to have my minister's degree or be some theologian, you know, deep theologian. I can just take a simple thought in the Bible and read it and say, well, this is what the Lord is speaking to me about. And then you just open up the conversation to the rest of the folks that are there and let the Holy Spirit lead as you facilitate the conversation, so that at the end of that gathering, which is not just a Bible study, but it's also a fellowship, it's encouragement, it's the church, and it's growing, and you'll walk out of those times together saying, okay, I was refreshed, I was challenged, I was equipped, I'm so thankful for my friends and for God's word and for His Spirit. And you know what, Sam, anybody can do that.
Yep, that's right.
So,
and that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it, right?
Exactly. So you know, I just want to maybe, you know, as the Lord is kind of directing this conversation here to that subject matter, you know, maybe Sam, I'd like for you to. By the way, I want to thank you for what you're doing. I want to thank you for your obedience. I want to thank you and your wife and your four children for sowing into a challenging area of our world. And I'm encouraged to hear the good reports of the exponential growth of God's word not returning void, of the gospel going out, and not returning void. It's coming back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over wave upon wave. And you're just walking in obedience and faithfulness to it. And you're living dead. You're willing to die for the gospel. You've given up your comforts of America, and you're living in a place where you kind of have to just make sure you don't reveal your identity. You know, I can't imagine living that way. Many people that are watching, it's like, you know what? Everybody knows me. But how would you like to live a life where you have to really be careful who you talk to, and even in this broadcast, to identify yourself? All you're seeing of Sam right now is a pixelated blob. But he's a real guy who has a real family, who's doing a real ministry in a really unfriendly part, at least as far as the government's concerned, unfriendly part of the world to the gospel. But through that, the gospel's still going forward. So thank you, Sam, for all that you're doing. But I would love for you to maybe speak to some folks that are viewing here today as to how they can step from their feeling unqualified, or what can they do? I'm just a regular person. How can you speak to them as to how they can maybe approach their pastor or just step up to the plate and say, well, I can do something in a small group capacity or something of that nature? Would you speak to the folks that are viewing and maybe speak into their lives and encouragement as to what they can do for the kingdom?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I just want to say that first steps are always the hardest. You know, like, moving outside of our comfort zone is can be very difficult. And, you know, moving out of your comfort zone is hard. And then And then once you're in that uncomfortableness, you have to work with it. Like you have to feel quite awkward for a little while, you know, before that uncomfortableness becomes comfortable. But that is what God wants us to do. Like, God doesn't want us to just sit comfortably. Mm. We need to be willing to say yes, Lord. You know, and I mean, God's not going to call. I mean, maybe God will call you to, you know, come join us on our team or something like that. But most of you or all of you probably won't. And God's going to keep you right where you're at to reach the people where you are. And that's a great thing, because there's a lot of people that God wants to reach through you. There's a lot of people in your close vicinity at you know, your neighbor, the people you work with, your friends, your family, and a lot of people you don't even know. There's a lot of people that God wants them, you know, and he wants to use you to do it. And so there's like little steps that you can take. First, by willing to say, yes, Lord, I would love to be used by you to reach the lost, you know, to step up and be willing to disciple people. Yeah. You know, they may not say, yes, I'm ready to receive Jesus right now. But you're saying, you know what? I think I'm willing to love you. Like, even if you're somebody that I'm friends with. But maybe they know you love Jesus, but you've never really asked them about God or talked to them about God. Then, you know, just have a small conversation. It doesn't have to be big, you know, just say, oh, praise God, you know, and then, or you say, can I pray for you? You know, or, you know, just in some fashion, you let them know that Jesus is really important to you. And then you just kind of keep working with that. And I think, you know, with a little bit of training from your pastor, with a little bit of help from small group leaders, you know, you can learn how to bring people into a group. And the work is not all on you, you know, but the friendship is part of it. Like, God, I can't even share enough how much the Holy Spirit is with you. And so, like, you being the embodiment, like God's Spirit being in you, when you share your love with other people, that is God's love going to them. And people respond very positively, not all the time, but a lot of people will respond very positively to that. The people who live in the world, they don't know what that's like. They don't experience the love of Jesus like you get to experience the love of Jesus. Mm. And so when they get to experience that from you, that's huge stuff. And they don't even know what to do with it. They can't even process it very well. And so that's when you just keep living life with them, you know, and sharing your life with them and talking about God, though. Like, you have to get to a point where you're bringing that up, and it should be sooner than later. You know, when you're talking to people, just bring him up, and you never know where the conversation might go.
Yeah. You got to listen for those strategic moments, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to like try to force your ideas onto them. Just, you know, people, there's a pastor, you know, the saying that people don't care what you know until they know that you care,
right?
You know? And so if you continue loving on them, they're going to be so attracted to that love that comes from Jesus Christ. And God really loves them.
Well, that's some good instruction. And I hope that the folks that are viewing will heed the instruction. Sam, as we're just a few minutes away from concluding this broadcast, would you pray for those folks that you just spoke into their lives? Just take a few moments now and just pray that the Lord will stir up whatever it is that needs to be stirred up, so that we can minister with what we have, where we are, start where we are, and say yes. Would you pray as we all bow our heads right now? And then after you finish doing that, we would love to pray for you.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. Heavenly Father, God, I just pray for the church, God, for all the people who are listening to this broadcast, Lord, Lord, that you would just touch their heart and invigorate their soul, Lord, open their eyes to see the people around them. God, there's so many people that you put in our in arm's reach, Lord. It can be friends and family, coworkers, you know, even just people that we meet, Lord. You know, wherever it is that we meet them, the person at Walmart, you know, who knows? But there are so many people. We want to love them with our actions, but we also want to speak to them with our words. And it doesn't have to be some great theological statement. You don't have to be a professional at sharing the gospel. You just got to lift up the name of Jesus when you can and pray for those opportunities. That Lord, help them to pray for those opportunities to just share your love with them. Lord, I believe, God, that your Holy Spirit is empowering everyone who's listening to this and that you are embodying them, Lord, that your Spirit is with them and you want to share your Spirit with the world. You desire that. You desire to share your love and your hospitality and your friendship and your glory with the world, Lord. You want to share your presence with so many people. That's your desire. And so, Father, I just pray that you would empower the church. Empower the church to share your love, share your word with the people around them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, amen. And Lord, we pray for Sam and for his family as they continue to sow the seeds of the gospel in the field that you've planted them. And I pray, Father, that you give them favor, protection, anoint them. God, let good fruit come from his obedient ministry there in that part of the world. And Father, we pray for revival to break out. Let the gospel be expanded in such a way where we would see a massive harvest of souls that would be reaped as a result of Sam and his family's efforts for you. God, we just pray for, again, his protection and favor, and that you just watch over him and his family. And we thank you, Lord, also that you've given us the ability and opportunity, and that we're going to see much fruit as a result of our efforts for you. We love you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Sam, thank you for joining us. And if you want to reach out to him, since we're concealing his identity and his location, we would like to put our website up at the bottom of the screen now. And if you want to find out some more information about him, if you want to reach out to him with encouragement, or maybe a word of knowledge, just to maybe partner with him in some way, however you want to communicate with him, then reach out to us, and we'll make sure we'll put your hands in his hands, and together you guys can communicate. But continue to pray for Sam and his family as they continue to minister in that area of the world. And I'm so thankful that the harvest is going forth in a powerful way all across the world. God is still on the move. Sam, thank you again for joining us today. And God bless you all. And share this, if you will, this broadcast with others if it's been a blessing to you. Until next time, we will see you again on The Harvest. Have a blessed week.